Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts. Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family. And I think that's part of God answering my prayer that whatever this is you're doing in our day, thank you that I'm here, and I don't want to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I want to avail myself to you so that I can be caught up in it. Hey, welcome back to this episode of Between Sundays with the Chandlers. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, babe. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think everyone's waiting with bated breath for the dad joke.
The dad joke. Are you ready?
No, I never am.
So, you know why they're called seagulls?
No.
Because they fly over the sea. If they flew over the bay, they'd be called bagels. Ba-dum-tsh.
Lauren, I wonder if, can you guys add that? Every time we do this to the front of the podcast? That'd be great. Andrea, did you like that one?
Yeah, I'm a good one.
Okay. Bagels.
All right, bagels.
Bagels, bagels.
I get it because it's the bay. And
what's your favorite bagel, babe?
Man, I'm just kind of I like a good cinnamon raisin bagel.
You do.
I love a good cinnamon raisin bagel. I think it's so dumb that we're talking about this now. I love it. Because when we were in Kansas City.
Yes.
We had, like, when I was a younger man, I loved a good schmear from
Einstein Brothers. Yeah.
And man, I just was like, it's too sugary, too much.
You have reached that age.
Too much. Well, yeah. There's a lot of
where
signs of that.
It's like too much.
Like my doctor is retiring.
Yeah.
When I get my MRI on Monday, I'm seeing another doctor for the first time.
That's crazy.
Like, I guess that was bound to happen, but.
You outlived her.
Feels weird.
I mean, well, she's still alive.
LC.
I mean, you outlived her practice.
Karen, if you're watching this, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're young outlived at heart, young a body. You're
practice.
Doing great.
Anyway,
you're doing great, Karen.
Her professional career.
Yeah, I'm not calling her a Karen. Karen is her name.
She's really Karen.
She's wonderful.
When I think about bagels, you know, we have like an award-winning bagel shop in Louisville.
Is this another dad joke
like
or is it?
Starship Bagel. They went to New York where like bagels are a real deal. The home of the bagel, maybe. Yeah.
They won the world championship.
Starship Bagel won the world championship of bagels and they're in Louisville.
What? Have you been?
No, I keep wanting to go, but it's not super convenient to get to. It's not right. It's down the road from you, Brad.
Is that what this episode's about? Convenience and comfort?
Maybe. We do live in the suburbs, so yeah, anyway.
You got to toss your hair when you say that.
Yes, yeah. I do. But just a little known fact. So if you ever come to Flower Mound, Highland Village, even just anywhere in the DFW area, like the world-renowned Starship Bagels is in Louisville,
Texas.
We
should totally date breakfast that.
We should do it.
I'm down.
Is there like a line and stuff? No. Okay. Oh, even better.
Probably will be now. World champions.
Anyway,
world champs.
Okay. Bagels.
Okay. So we just want to talk about this. Just such a terrible transition.
What are we talking about?
We're going to just talk about what the Lord seems to be doing in our day, what we're excited about, what we've seen the last month or two, like not just at the Village, but kind of out there.
Yeah.
And how exciting that is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if it's not on everybody's radar, if we can help go, no, God's up to something.
Mm-hmm.
You have to join him there.
Yeah.
Maybe this episode can help spark some of that.
Yeah.
And so do you want to set us up on that or?
You do such a good job of setting us up.
Man, you're so kind to me.
Go ahead.
I think for me, if you look at like data from 2020 to 2025, you'd be hard pressed to argue that there's not something significant going on right now when it comes to Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and the things of God. And maybe more broadly, interest in and excitement around who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And like, depending on what level we want to take this conversation, I think we're real time watching the death of secularism.
Yeah.
I think Gen Z and Gen Alpha have realized it's a bankrupt promise. And so we're going to find something else. Mm-hmm. And a great number of them are finding in Jesus hope and life. Mm-hmm. It's not just, I mean, paganism's up, witchcraft is up.
Yeah, the spirituality.
The spirituality mm-hmm. is way up everywhere in the world, not just the West.
Yep.
And there's something about that is really exciting. And if you want to watch the Unite movement, or, you know, we've got good friends involved in that. And like at all these college campuses where they go, thousands of kids show up, hundreds, if not thousands, give their lives to Jesus. Some of them are baptized at the event. If there's a fountain, or I remember in Georgia, they put tarps in the back of the truck and filled it up. And it's not just SEC schools, and it's not just, you know, And then you've got these little hotspot outbreaks of what I would call revival, little spot fires happening all over the place. Yeah. And then what happened at Southeastern SEU. And then like we have experienced some of that at the Village, where just kind of our ordinary rhythms, the Spirit fell in a way that was very unique.
Yeah.
And in every one of these things, the common denominator is deep repentance happening in the space, tears and abnormal grief over sin and a clinging to the promises of Christ. Yeah. And I think a significant renewal in the church right now around prayerfulness and prayer. Mm-hmm. I forgot how many, I think John Tyson was talking about how many books in the last year have been written on prayer. So a renewed interest in that. So it feels like to me that there has been a awakening maybe in a lot of churches and in a lot of spaces to how powerless we are to actually pull off this thing that God's put in our heart and a reordering of priority around prayer and seeking and fasting and longing for a unique and powerful move of God in our day.
Yeah.
So that would be my framing of it. Am I leaving anything else out? Or?
No, I think that's great. I think we are in a special moment right now. I mean, I even think back, so we were just a part of IF one night. Matt was preaching. I got to lead worship.
You were incredible.
Yeah. Thanks, babe. So are you.
Say more.
Oh my gosh. But I've been a part of IF gathering from its inception.
Yeah.
Jenny's a friend. I've had the pleasure and the honor of being a part of it since, I guess it was 2014 was the first gathering. And even like, there was good stuff that happened each year. I mean, but there was something really different about this year. And I don't credit really production or anything, but I do credit the people behind it really being hungry for a move of God.
Yeah.
Like, I think with everything that happened, you know, 2020, I think COVID was just this year of, I know it was very divisive in all the ways. All of our divisions were visible at that point. I mean, we were divided before, but it just became starker, more visible. And I think it like removed a layer of something that needed to be removed. Yeah. And it exposed some things. And I think it exposed, there was just a lot of exposure that happened in the church, in power structures and all that. And now we get to like our response is, okay, now that there's been this great exposure, now what?
Yeah.
You know? So it's an opportunity. I think people are seeking like, okay, we've exposed all these things, but the exposure wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Couldn't just be the exposure. There had to be some substance behind it. And so I think for those in Christ who love him, like the exposure was cleansing in some ways and like convicting. And they're like, okay, we, the church can't just preach good sermons and can't just crank out beautiful songs, you know, that earn awards and stuff. We need the power of God to move and we cannot conjure him up.
Yeah.
All we can do is ask him to move and do all the things. I love Sam Gibson, and he had a sermon on fasting. Best sermon on fasting I've ever heard. You've never preached one, so I can say that honestly.
Challenge accepted. And by the way, Sam Gibson leads Pray NYC.
He's part of the Waken Network with John Tyson.
Incredible.
And so he talked about how fasting is positioning. And so I think there's this desire for those in the church to position because they've seen, okay, things have been exposed. We lack power and we can do all these things, but unless we have power, it's just a show.
Yeah.
It's entertainment. Yeah. It's anyway. And then I think for the people that are not believers, you know, they're searching for something real.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there was a young woman at Sephora yesterday and I didn't ask her about her crystal because I was just trying to like lay a little foundation, groundwork. That's what I was like, a foundwork?
Foundwork.
Groundation.
It's real. You can lay foundwork.
Because I plan on going back to that Sephora.
Yeah, I know you
FYI.
Do. I know you do.
But she had a crystal around her neck, you know, and so there's a lot of that like
in our area.
Seeking something real. That you can experience is real.
Transcendent.
It's transcendent. And so I think that's where we are right now. And for those who love the Lord and know his redeeming power and know him.
Yeah.
We're hungry for others to know it too.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the moment that we're in, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I think people are hungry and they are, I don't want to preach John Tyson's sermon from Awaken.
Yeah.
Or no, Altars. But he was onto something.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Anyway.
I think you're right. One of the things I've wrestled with for years is that my life, by the grace of God, is played out in the suburbs of Dallas, a place I am safe. I have an abundance of food and shelter and opportunity. And that's always because of what I've been able to see around the world. Man, I've wrestled with it internally. Like here I have this life of ease, and I just know that my brothers and sisters around the world, they are living a whole different reality than me. And that's why I've been super grateful to partner with GCR. Like some of the hardest realities in the world right now are happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Nigeria. It's become the center of modern Christian martyrdom. There's more believers being killed there for their faith than anywhere else in the world right now. Since 2009, over 50,000 Christians have lost their lives and more than 2 million have been displaced by extremist violence. And here's what I know. These aren't just stats. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our family. Many have had to flee their homes with nothing, and they arrive in these camps. And then once they get into the camps, there's all sorts of trauma, extreme poverty, and uncertainty. But in the middle of that suffering, I know the global church, you and me, we have an opportunity to step in and be the church. Through this work, these families, not just individuals, but families, they can receive immediate care. They can get food, clean water, shelter, and medical support. And over time, That can grow into education, job training, and sustainable income so they can rebuild their lives. And here's what I love about GCR. Like, it's tangible. This stuff is tangible. For $42 a month, you can support a whole displaced family. 76 can provide clean drinking water for up to 12 believers for an entire year. And 158 can equip a woman to start a business and provide for her family. When you give to Global Christian Relief, you're not just supporting a cause, you're actually standing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of person who doesn't just hear about atrocities and heartbreak, but as best I can with the resources God's made available to me, I want to be able to respond. Let me encourage you to look at, consider, and give to Global Christian Relief for the good of our brothers and sisters globally.
One of the small luxuries that helps me get out of the bed and start my day, or helps me wind down at night after a full day as a wife and mom, friend and business owner, is wrapping myself up in something soft and comfortable. It is just the best feeling. Honestly, I think I look forward to those moments every single day. And no one does that kind of comfort quite like Cozy Earth. I've been reaching for their brushed bamboo jogger set a lot lately, and it's become that outfit. You know the one, soft enough to rest in, but still put together enough to wear throughout your day. Whether it's morning coffee, running errands, or winding down at night, it just moves with you. It's made from viscose from bamboo, so it's lightweight, breathable, and somehow it gets softer every time you wash it. And they're clogs. I didn't realize how much I needed them until I started wearing them. They're easy to slip on, super comfortable, and supportive in a way that just makes everyday life feel a little lighter. The kind of shoe you wear without even thinking about it, from the kitchen to the backyard, when I'm feeding my birds, and everywhere in between. And I love this reminder. What we wear at home can actually shape how we feel in the quiet, ordinary moments of our day. You can try it all completely risk-free with a 100-night trial and a 10-year warranty, because Cozy Earth really stands behind what they make. So this spring, give yourself the kind of comfort that lives with you all day, not just the moment you get home. Head to CozyEarth.com and use my code BETWEEN for 20% off. And if you see a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention you heard about Cozy Earth right here on Between Sundays with the Chandlers. Comfort lives here.
So what would you say to there to me, and if I'm thinking through the grid of, you know, evangelical life and faith, there's a group. I don't think they're wrong. I don't think they're off. I don't think that, you know, the make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to that... if we just knew the Bible more, if we could eradicate biblical literacy, if we could, it would be what we're talking about might be a little too ghosty, but to kind of build on what I think is called kind of the historic foundation of Bible study, gathering.
Yeah.
Education, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then if the Lord wants to do this, great. But that feels like a distraction from the work that the Lord gave us. And then there is the, you know, I think the far other side is would look at that stuff with suspicion.
Yeah.
Try to say we don't need as much of that. And we need all of this, this being like 24/7 prayer and a call for the church to you know, fast, you know, once a week, and then extended, 21 days at the beginning of the year. And then, this press to maybe pick one of these and kind of let your church be known as one or the other of these.
Yeah.
What would you say to maybe someone who's watching right now and maybe feels drawn this way, but feels like it's pulling them away from this, or drawn this way and feel right like they feel stuck between two worlds? Mm-hmm. Might be a better way to ask the question.
My short answer is it's both. That there are good things about prayer and Bible study, the discipline of prayer, the discipline of Bible study, the discipline of being a good citizen and a good neighbor. That is all really great. And I think that's good fruit. Also, it's good practice and good fruit. And the other is it's good practice that leads to good fruit as well. Yeah. But also it's almost like you've got I keep thinking of a lawnmower. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's like you've got these good practices of Bible reading and being a good citizen and a neighbor. And I feel like that's like the lawnmower, but you need the fuel.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like that the fasting, those kind of disciplines are some of is fuel for those other disciplines.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's cuff.
I know. I think you're on to something. Okay. I do. Like, I think even in preaching for the last, it was probably 3 years ago now, maybe 3.5 years mm-hmm. ago. I'm just like normal Bible reading, daily Bible reading, and came across Paul's words about, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who are perishing.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I mean, I would call it the Holy Spirit, like that leapt off the page
mm-hmm.
right into like preaching for me.
Yeah.
Like I can never be good enough to unblind the mind.
That's right.
And I want to be the best preacher I can be. And I want that blade as sharp as it can be, but it's kind of wood with no fire
mm-hmm.
and a sail with no wind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I'm not asking the Holy Spirit to catch it on fire and to blow wind into the sails.
Yeah.
So that started changing my own prep.
Yeah.
To preach both intellectually and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
One, even as I'm writing the sermon, trying to, you know, exegetically, you know, hermeneutically, I understand these rules. How do you on this weekend with who's coming, how do you want to apply this? How do you want to minister this?
Yeah.
How do you want to work in the room as this is being unpacked mm-hmm. for people. I want to join you in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then to feel the consternation of my powerlessness before I walk out to preach.
Yeah.
The desperation that's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that shifted in me is not the theological knowledge of that, because I think that's always mm-hmm. been present, but trying to live into the reality of that, that was the shift.
Yeah.
Because I think preachers who are watching this are like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always been true. I know it's always been true. It hasn't always been lived into by
mm-hmm.
me. I'm not making accusations against other people,
right.
but like I have tried to hone the craft of preaching and teaching for decades.
Yeah.
Learn best practices, learn how to steward my voice, learn how to be uniquely me, because God's called me to be that conduit at the Village Church. So how do I sharpen that blade?
Right.
And then what's getting lost in that is no matter how sharp your rhetorical skill is,
mm-hmm.
no matter how well you can hold attention and how long you can hold that attention,
mm-hmm.
no matter how engaging or clever you can seem, if the power of God doesn't illuminate,
right?
If the power of God doesn't break through,
mm-hmm.
then, and I've preached long enough into big enough rooms to know this, then people might marvel at the sermon and not be transformed by it at all. Not even that one degree to the next, right?
Yeah.
And so to live into that reality and prep and in proclamation, that's been a turn in me the last few years, where I can sense in prayerful preparation where the Lord's leading me in a given weekend.
Yeah.
And then desperately want him to help these people who are in front of me. So much pain out there.
Yeah.
Every weekend, so much pain.
Yeah.
Like every weekend that just kind of unaware of. Mm-hmm. It's like the book, Lauren and I are both reading Theo of Golden right now.
Don't give anything away. I'm behind him.
I'm not. I would never. I would never. It's sacred.
Not on purpose. You wouldn't on purpose.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, one of the themes that you feel in that book is that there's all this private pain that people are constantly carrying, no matter what the projected image of themselves are. Past pain, current pain, right? Anxieties for the future, but it's all kind of covered up with, in the book, this kind of Southern, vibe.
Yeah.
And I know that's out there. I can feel it sometimes when it's out there. I know the stories of the men and women out there. Not all of them, but most of them. Not even most of them. And so that for me has been a significant shift over the last 3 years, almost renewal-like in my own relationship with the Lord. And I think that's part of God answering my prayer that whatever this is you're doing in our day, thank you that I'm here, and I don't want to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yes. I just don't. If you're breaking loose in the day that you've placed me here, I don't want to be the guy watching it. I want to avail my heart to you. I want to avail my wallet, my soul, my mind. I want to avail myself to you so that I can be caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not asking to be the epicenter. I'm not. I just want to. I want to just participate, which is why we've taken some trips in the last 2 months to just try to get close to some of this stuff.
Yeah.
IF's one of those. We went to Altars up in New York City, which was so profound.
It was great.
It was so profound. Yeah. And then I took a team out to the Return at Saddleback, which was this sacred assembly that just said, we're hungry for you to show up among us. We thank you and worship you for all you've done, but we find in our hearts a desire for you to show up in ways that are bigger and more beautiful than what we've seen.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by that.
Yeah. I think about, I'm reading through the Bible, started in Genesis. I'm in Numbers still. I'm a little bit behind. But when, I think it's in Leviticus where the Lord's instructing the priests to like keep the fire burning, for the sacrifices. But I mean, he brought the fire of God down on it. So they didn't create the fire. He brought it. But that part of their job is to keep feeding it wood, like fuel. And so I think about that for us, like going to altars, you going to the Return, other places where I'm just trying to like throw another log on the flame in my own heart.
Yeah.
Because that's where it starts.
Yeah.
It starts right here, And so wanting to keep that in mind of, okay, Lord, where's another log?
Yeah.
Where's another log that I can throw on here? Because I don't want it to go out.
Yeah. There's something about fresh air and trees and being outside that's really replenishing for me. And yet, I think I spend 90% of my time indoors in front of a screen, at my desk, above my garage, or up at the office at the Village Church. And so I was excited when Air Doctor, which is like this award-winning air purifier that really eliminates like 99.99% of all kind of allergens and viruses and smoke and mold and all that stuff that's in the air. They were actually voted best air purifier by Newsweek. 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that when they plug these things in, the home feels cleaner and healthier. And so Air Doctor Pro is sponsoring this episode of The Overcomers. And if you will go, you will get $300 off today. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee plus a 3-year warranty. I think that's like an $84, $85 value. And so you can go to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code Overcomers for $300 off any of their Air Doctor air purifiers. And so got one plugged in here. Love what it's done to my office. It has changed kind of the feel of things in my office. And so airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code Overcomers. You know, when you were talking there, I thought of the episode we did, you know, a few episodes ago now about the replenishment cycle.
Yeah.
And coming off of last month, as busy as it was with sprinkling some club volleyball in there, mm-hmm. Man, that needs to be added to my replenishment cycle where I'm going to places hungry to hear and be ministered to by the Spirit. Yeah. And I'm not preaching.
Yeah.
So I'm in the room and I'm not thinking about my sermon and how it might relate to that or, you know, how that might be relating to the sermon I've already preached. But it was so refreshing to me.
Yeah.
To just show up with a little notebook and Bible and sit next to you and just get to receive and not have my mind anywhere except in the room.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I probably need to add this to my replenishment cycle because it's so life-giving.
Yeah.
So energy providing for me to sit and receive like that.
Yeah. That was good. We took some of our team.
Yep.
And so to carry that back, what's cool is probably a year before that, one of our worship leaders had gone, Will, and man, he came back just ablaze.
Yes, he did.
And so he brought some of that back,
man. I mean, I don't know if your theology would be watching this impartation or something, but he came back a whole different man.
He did.
In the best way.
He did.
In the best way. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think just, if you're listening, our encouragement is like, find where the fire of God is burning and get close to it.
Yeah, it's old Henry Blackaby stuff, right?
Yes,
it's just like, where's the Lord moving? Let me go warm by the fire.
Yeah. And then I think too, we're just inundated with all the crap that's going on in the world. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know what you're saying.
The next exposure of somebody or something. Yep. And the next failure, the next disappointment, you know, and that really, I'm not saying it's wrong to expose darkness. We're to do that.
Yep.
But if that's all that you're talking about or looking at or reading, you will shrivel up and die.
Yeah, it's true.
But to get around those places where you see God's moving, people are hungry, he's showing up in ways where people are getting saved, lives are being transformed, that stokes the fire.
No question.
And it's like it breathes life onto it. So that'd be just my encouragement. Just, it's really easy. Like, what is that? Negative things get our attention faster. We remember them quicker. But to just try to find those things, and I would say experientially, if you can get to places, to be around that, it is wind in your sails.
It is. And if you can't get around it, I wonder if there's ways that you can, you can build it where you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know not everybody would be able to like just take a trip to New York for 3 days or.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's
head out to,
wherever you can find. I mean, keep going.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, what I'm hopeful for in this season is it looks like this thing God's been doing at college campuses is starting to jump into churches and break loose in churches because it's always going to get back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is the hope of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bride
it's
of Christ.
Plan.
That's right. And to watch so many churches reorient around prayer, reorient around asking for God to do what they know they can't bring about and what COVID exposed we had not brought about with all our human scheming, like great, beautiful trellises mm-hmm. that the vine hadn't really grown up into and, yep. and through and out of is really encouraging to me. So if you're a ministry leader, what does it look like to build more prayer into your rhythms? Yeah. What does it look like to model dependence and mm-hmm. model expectation mm-hmm. and longing? And yeah. which I find longing to be, you know, I wrote about this, but Bono's onto something when he wrote, and I still haven't found what I'm looking mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. And he spoke with the tongue of angels. He's listing all these things he's done and says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Yeah. There's something about angst and longing that pulls us forward.
Yeah.
And when angst and longing dies, there's the effect that now you're being pushed forward, but not necessarily pulled forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love angst. I love angst in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs mm-hmm. for you. Like, you've got all these illustrations in the Bible of these men and women who love and know and have experienced God in such a way that it's just made them want more.
Yep.
And to be somewhat frustrated when they're not, it moves them to contending prayer
mm-hmm.
when they're not getting that thing.
Yeah.
And that's the Apostle Paul. That's King David. That's Moses. That's these men have experienced the Lord in ways that most of us can't imagine. And they didn't go, whoo, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
But like double down on it and say, do that again.
And I think
do more of that.
Finding people that are there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And doesn't have to be at your church.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend, my Catholic friend, Kim.
Let's go. I love her.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful Catholic church not too far from here. And they have adoration, which is like this little room you can go and you can just pray. It's completely silent and anyone's welcome. And so I went in there and just like sat in silence and talked to the Lord and prayed for different things that he laid on my heart. But just being around Kim and her hunger for the presence of God and for intimacy with him, to know him and to make him known, like it's contagious.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to adoration. This Southern Baptist girl.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. So I think there's something to that. Like, finding those other people that you're like, okay, I want more of that. Like, that resonates with me, that hunger that they have for the presence of God. I want to hunger like that too.
Yeah.
And just hanging out with them.
Yeah. And I think that's a great, you know, discipleship strategy.
Mm.
If you want to take ownership of your own discipleship strategy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like if you struggle with studying the scriptures and understanding, then pull up to the one who you know, oh man, they excel at that.
Yep.
Hunger for God, get at prayer, get by that. Man, they do this so well, get towards it and learn from them. Yep. And so I love discipleship pathways in churches, needed, necessary, good, right, beautiful.
Right.
And yet that kind of relational, I want more of that, they've got it. Let me move towards them. And as a younger man, I was just snatching guys up going, teach mm-hmm. me, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand that. Mm-hmm. Teach me how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of things I know how to do now, I didn't learn because a church I was at had a pathway for it,
mm-hmm.
but there was a man there who embodied something I knew I didn't have and I wanted it. And so I moved towards.
Yeah.
Even when it came to marriage and family and children and money and I need help and this guy loves the Lord, he fears his name. Let me grab hold of them and just ask, not just, will you disciple me? Because if a guy asks me that, I'm asking, what do you mean?
Yeah.
When you say that, what are you talking about? But real specific, I don't pray like I want to pray. Can you help me? I'm not sure how money works and I need help.
Yeah.
And so, man, I've got a long list of guys from Dave McQueen to Jerry Hendrix to Ronnie Hazard to Jack Nicholson to, I mean, I could just keep going with
not
men.
The actor.
Not the actor. Yeah, caveat. Brian Miller that, you know, were sent to me at the right time and I was able to just go, okay, I want that so badly, and have no idea. So let me just grab hold of them. Mm-hmm. And Kim's a beautiful example of, I want to burn like that. Mm-hmm. Let me get close to her. Mm-hmm. And she is spectacular.
Yeah.
What else are you seeing if we're talking what God's doing in our day, what you're noticing, what you're excited about, what you're hopeful for, mm-hmm. that's kind of stirring up in your heart right now?
I think coming right off of spin weekend, the winter / spring retreat for students, I really see our high school students and middle school students just wanting a real relationship with God.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that. I'm excited that they are not the future of the church.
Here.
They are the church.
They're here.
And asking for more of that, especially because, and asking that kind of, that it bubbles up to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there are a lot, the age of the parents of those kids, well, my age,
yeah.
My age.
I see what you, I mean, I know what the wink means. I know what the wink means.
I'm messing.
Hey, your birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So you're.
I'm no spring chicken anymore.
You're getting up there.
No,
you
kidding.
Said it.
But I think there's a lot of hurt, and they've been very jaded and probably have felt like I gave church a try and it didn't work for me. And so I'm really excited to see how these kids will burn for the Lord and how that will affect their parents.
Yeah.
And I really think it will. And I hope they don't miss out on it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 100% with you.
Mm.
Just, man, if you lead in a church, and I just think aim young with resourcing, aim young with prayer, aim young with a great deal of zeal. It just seems to be a place where the Lord is incredibly at work right now. Like, I think the last bit of data I read on is Gen Z goes to church more than anybody else now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did that happen? It happened quick.
It did.
And so I think most people have no idea that's happening. Bible sales way up, driven by Gen Z and Gen Alpha right behind them.
Yeah.
And so you've got church attendance, you've got purchasing Bibles, you've got this thing that's happening on college campuses, you've got, and so again, we want to aim young. We want to be a part of what God's doing in our day, and specifically not the theological, he does this in each mm-hmm. generation, but uniquely so, how do we join him there? How do we organize, orient, prayerful resource around that thing so that we might participate in what God's doing in our day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any final words for anyone who's listening?
Just if you feel like you're the only one who's burning, you're not. You're not alone. And ask the Lord to show you someone else around you who is, and partner with them and asking for the Holy Spirit to come. And when I say Holy Spirit come, I know he's here, but just to make himself manifest, to just make him unmissable.
Yeah.
And to move in power right where you are. Big moves of God's started with just a small group of people
almost
getting
always
together to pray.
That's right. So, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening to this. It's a little bit of a shorter episode. We're normally much longer winded than this, but thank you for dialing in for this. That's the wrong nomenclature, but it's fine. And so
thanks
we'll be
for
back.
Tuning in.
Yeah, tuning in. I don't think that
that's
works.
That's outdated
either.
Too, but it carried over.
Yeah. Well, I'll figure it out. Next episode, I'll have a good conclusion. God bless you. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if the Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.